Okay, Be'ezus Hashem, we are now beginning our Parsha class, Parshas B'Shalach. Today is the sixth day of Shvat Tov Shinayin Ches, corresponding with the English calendar, January 22nd, 2018. And I'm going to pick on one aspect of the Parsha, although I want to give you a very brief summary, because this Parsha is unusually rich with different stories, different episodes that have taken place that have left the Jewish people with an indelible impression ad hayom, until today. So just to give you a very, very brief summary, the Parsha begins with Yetzias Mitzrayim, the Jewish people leaving Egypt, and having arrived at the Yam Suf, the Sea of Reeds. The story then from there goes with the climax of the story goes with the Jewish people crossing the Red Sea, which is known as Kriyas Yam Suf. Parsha continues with the Shiras Hayam, Oz Yashir, and Miriam together with Moshe, each one separately, the men with the men and the women with the women, sang Oz Yashir, praising Hashem for the tremendous, unbelievable nes that took place, that was the key factor that saved the Jewish people from destruction. Jewish people from there went to a place called Morah, where the water originally was bitter, and then after that the water was made sweet by miracle, where Moshe Rabbeinu was instructed to throw a piece of wood that was not sweet into the water that turned it into sweet water. And that location of Morah was the first place where the Jewish people received the laws of Shabbos, Parah Aduma, and the laws of Dinim, that's the laws of the judicial aspect of Torah law. And some also add the mitzvah of Kibbud Av, the aim, at Morah. I'm just giving, a very brief summary, because you see how rich this parish is in terms of what it contains. Then they went from there to a place called Midbar Sin, where there was the famous situation where the Jewish people complained for not having what to eat, because their matzah supply that was 30 days later was depleted, and they complained for meat and for bread, and they were given slav and they were given man, which continues with the whole custom of having double chalas. Slav is geese. We have today in memory of the man, we have double challah. We cover it with a challah cover. That in itself, I say, these are little tidbits I'm giving you that are still within our reach till today, that we think about them and we remember them. And then from there on, they arrive to a place called Rephidim, where the famous Melchama of Amalek, Melchemas Amalek, took place, where Yeshua was instructed to go and fight the Amalekim, and that basically concludes the parsha. That ending of the parsha's B'Shalach is actually the Kriyas HaTorah that's read on Purim, and it's just a good idea to have kavana that when you hear the parsha being read in shul this week, to be yotzei the mitzvah of zechivas mechias amalek, just in case if by some accident you don't have an opportunity to listen to parshas zechor in 2 months from now, when Purim will be coming about, And it happens that you don't have a chance to go to shul, whatever the reason. You should be well, and there should be no reason not to go. But in case you didn't have an opportunity to go, b'di'evah, you certainly could be yaitzer by listening to this parsha and having the appropriate kavana. Before I get
would
to
it be the whole parsha, or would
no,
be
no, the just part? the last 4 or 5 psukim. Alright, the last four or five psukim, if in the art scroll, it would be on page 390. Begins Vayavoy, not Maftis, before Vayavoy Amalek, the very last line on page 390, just to bear in mind that here's an opportunity to fulfill the mitzvah of remembering the devastating attitude that Amalek had towards the Jewish people, and we have a mitzvah to remember that. And we read a parsha of the Torah to remind us of this. And here's an opportunity to have in mind when you do read it. Because this is read on Purim. Now, although Parsha Zachor is not read from B'Shalach, it's read at the end of Vayetze, it's as in Sefer Devarim, but still you could be Yotze the Mitzvah of Zechiras HaMolek, because this is the actual story that took place. Before I begin in the specifics of this parasha, I do want to remind you that this week Parshas B'Shalach is also known as Shabbos Shira. The name of this parsha is, we call it the name of the Shabbos, is called Shabbos Shira because of the famous Oz Yashir that is read. There is a popular custom to stand by Oz Yashir in giving special recognition to this awesome, awesome praise of the Almighty that we say in shul every day. And you'll notice people standing by that during the Kriyas HaTorah. Not everyone does, but it's a custom to do so. There's another custom on Shabbos Shira, is that to put bread for the birds out, specifically this Shabbos, so in order to give some kind of reward to the birds that preserved the honor of Moshe Rabbeinu, because at the time in Parshas B'Shalach, Moshe Rabbeinu gave the Jewish people Hashem gave the mun to the Jewish people, and Moshe instructed them of the laws that pertained to the mun, and one of the laws was that the mun will not fall on Shabbos. It'll fall double on Friday, and then there's no need for anyone to go and beyond their tents to go look for the man on Shabbos, because it will not fall. And Dosam ve'Avirim, the two popular troublemakers, went ahead and put their man supply out on the field to try to ridicule Moshe Rabbeinu and to try to show him up in front of the Jewish people. And as they then finished their plot, they woke the Jewish people up in the morning, says, God, we found man, and everyone was startled. But Moshe Rabbeinu said there will not be. No, there is man, there is, come out. The birds who came, who were there, and saw that, swooped down and ate the man, or carried it away in their beaks, and when Dustin Vaviram got throngs of people to look for the man, and of course with the plan to put Moshe to shame, they couldn't find any, and they would say, oh, it's here but it's not there, and or it's there but it's not there. And naturally they were very, very appropriately admonished for their inappropriate behavior. But the birds were repaid for this, and the minhag Yisrael is to put bread for the birds out so that the birds on Parshas Bishalach, it's in the middle of the winter, it's not a very, very easy time for birds to find food, and the minute is to put birds, or the rest for the birds out, to show how much we appreciate what they have done to Moshe Rabbeinu. No, it's not. That's a medrash. This is something. It's a popular medrash that you'll notice small children, especially from kindergarten, will come back from their, from school on Friday, and they'll have little toy birdhouses or other little cute artist description of Moshe Rabbeinu and the birds and so forth, which is just good to know. As part is the panorama view of Parshas Bishalach, which you see is actually a very, very rich parsha with so much in it. Amen. Thank you, Abi. I'm going to pick a very small part of the parasha. It's small but very significant. It's at the beginning of the parasha. Let's read some of the parasha beginning from page 366. And the parasha begins, Vayhi b'shalach paro esa'om. It was when Paro sent the Jewish people out, v'lo nochem elokim derech eretz pelishtim. Hashem did not want to lead the Jewish people through the land of Pelishtim, Kikorovu, because it was too close to Mitzrayim. Ki Ome Elokim pen yinachem ha'om b'rosh ha'milchama. Perhaps the Jewish people will regret having left when there might be a war, because they're going to go to Pelishtim, they'll have to fight, and they may regret it, and they'll water v'shava Mitzrayim. And they'll return to Mitzrayim. So Hashem did something else. Vayasev Elokim Esa'om. Hashem, at that time, turned the people towards the way of the desert, Yamsuf, of the Yamsuf, V'chamushim Olu L'vnei Yisrael Me'eretz Mitzrayim. There are two pshatim. One pshat is they were one-fifth of the Jewish people that remained alive, because four-fifths of the Jewish people died in the Makkah of Choshech. But the simple translation of V'chamushim means that they were armed. They were armed. If they had to fight, they were prepared for that. And they left Mitzrayim in such a state. V'yikach Moshe es asmos Yosef imoy, and Moshe took the bones of Yosef with him, because Yosef had surely made the Jewish people swear that Pakod Yivka de Elokim Eschem, Hashem will surely remember you, and you shall bring up my bones from here with you. He also made them swear that all of the Shvatim will also be brought up to Eretz Israel as well. The medrash on this pasuk, as my Rebbe Rabbi Keller Chaim Zov Keller Shlita brings down the Sefer Chidekel, very, very famous medrash on the fact that that Moshe has taken the bones of Yosef, and it says on that pasuk, Chacham lev yikach mitzvos, a wise heart takes mitzvahs. Why all of a sudden was Moshe Rabbeinu called a wise man? A wise heart is a man who takes mitzvahs, because everybody else was busy taking money, and he ended up taking bones. Mm-hmm. Everybody was busy taking the chlei kesef, uchlei zohar, vessels of silver and gold from the Egyptians.
Isn't that what they were told?
And very good question, but this is what has taken place. And actually, that particular point, my Rebbe asks that too, but that's the question was right on. But let me just carry on.
But it can also be a mindset on.
Well, just let me carry on.
Had they not been told, they could have thought about the bones too.
Well, no, the two, everybody was focused on the request, made a bakasha. Hashem made a bakasha in order not to disappoint Avraham Avinu. When Avraham Avinu was told that his children will be strangers for 400 years, he says, but then when they'll leave b'ruchush gadol. They'll leave with a tremendous wealth. So if they won't take the vessels of silver and gold and clothing and beautiful robes and other finery,
what will they get?
Then how will they leave Egypt b'ruchush gadol, with great wealth, and the promise that Hashem has promised Avram would not have been kept? So they were doing the right thing. But Moshe Rabbeinu's focus was on the oath that was made to bring the bones of Yosef with them outside of Mitzrayim. Medrash explains it was not an easy matter because Yosef's bones were hidden. Yosef's bones were hidden in a lead casket that was submerged at the bottom of the Nile River. Now, he didn't even know that. There was a lady by the name of Serach Bas Asher. Now, Serach Bas Asher, if you remember going back at the end of Bereshis, was that woman, Serach, the daughter of Asher, who was musically inclined, and she played that special song saying, O Yosef Chai, for Yaakov Avinu. See, Yaakov Avinu would have never been able to survive the shock of having found out that his, quote, dead son Yosef was really alive. So in order to buffer the environment and to cushion the impact, they told Serach Bas Asher to play a tune and sing the words, Od Yosef Chai, Od Yosef Chai, Yosef is still alive, Od Yosef Chai. And Yaakov was in the other room and he didn't understand what kind of a foolish song is being said, is being sung. But it was hammering away in his conscience until finally when after, I don't know, maybe an hour or two later, they came in with such excitement, our father Yaakov, could you imagine that we have a report you'll never believe? And in the back of his mind, he says, maybe it has something to do with the silly song that I heard. And finally, he was able to survive the shock. But he blessed Serach Bas Asher with longevity. She lived hundreds of years. The Jewish people were in Egypt for 210 years. And she was probably older than that. And she lived
to see
lives later. So Moshe Rabbeinu did not know what to do, so he went over to Serach Bas Asher and asked Serach Bas Asher, do you know where the bones of Yosef? So she remembers from way back when that the Egyptians have done this because they knew that Yosef made the Jewish people swear that they will never leave without his bones. So they said, very, very good, we've got the perfect plan. They submerged his casket in the bottom of the Nile River, and they had no way of getting it because there were no submarines or other equipment that would bring it up. And they said, that is a done deal. We know for sure Yosef is staying with all the blessings that go with it. As soon as Moshe Rabbeinu found out that the bottom of the Nile had Yosef's casket, he wrote on a piece of gold, I imagine, the pasuk that Yosef was blessed by Yaakov, Ali Shur. Shur means an ox. Ali means rise. He threw it into the water, and the box rose like an ice cube. We're talking about lead is the heaviest metal. It rose, and there he saw it. He was very engaged. He was very busy with the Atzmus Yosef. Therefore, the Medrash says, Chacham Lev Yikach Mitzvus. A wise heart is a person who takes mitzvus. And who's that referring to? To Moshe Rabbeinu. Everybody else is busy with gold and silver, and he was busy with dead bones. So obviously, the question is raised, but they had a mitzvah. Of each one was told, Vayish'alu, Ish me'esru eyu, v'ish me'esru utsa, kli chesed v'chalizav. Everyone was told to go ahead and borrow vessels of silver and vessels of gold. That was a mitzvah. If that was a mitzvah, then why was this given to the credit to Moshe Rabbeinu, Chacham Lev Yikach Mitzvus, as they were also doing a mitzvah? So, Rabbi Leo Meir Bloch Zitzal, the tells of Rosh Yeshiva, the original Rosh Yeshiva that brought the Yeshiva to America, answered the question by saying that that's 100% true that they were doing a mitzvah. It is, but ultimately, the physical benefits, the tangible rewards, was felt in being wealthy. There was true a mitzvah, but we are human beings. And when you have their hands sifting through gold and silver, carrying expensive finery, clothing, robes, and wealth that they, as slaves, never even dreamed of touching, it brought Moshe Rabbeinu above them. Because Moshe Rabbeinu had nothing but a mitzvah of saving or collecting the bones of Yosef that had no other tangible pleasure or reward other than the mitzvah. So when a person does a mitzvah purely for the sake of a mitzvah, the tangible rewards of the mitzvah provide him that honorable title of Chacham Lev, Chacham Lev Yikach Mitzvus. Chacham Lev Yikach Mitzvus. You understand what I'm saying? It's true that they were doing a request that was also mitzvah, right? In order not to put Avraham in a state of disappointment, but ultimately, they were going to benefit from the wealth, because they all became fabulously wealthy. Moshe Rabbeinu did not become wealthy from the dead bones of Yosef. And he was totally engaged in the mitzvah of taking care of Yosef's bones. So therefore, the Torah gave him that title. The Gra, the Vilna Gaon, brings to light that whenever there are mitzvahs, right, there's always that contemporary Yetzer Hara that we have to contend with. That is usually what happens. And in such a situation, we have to be aware that when we're doing a mitzvah, that we have to have our guard up and be alert, that very often we could be told that we're doing mitzvahs and it's really being sabotaged by the Yetzer Hara. And one has to be very careful about that. The Yetzer Hara by his normal tactics will not ever tell you do an aveira directly. He'll always attach a mitzvah to it or some kind of a logical rationale. Never to do evil. You even can go into a prison and people who have robbed banks have they rationalize. What do you mean? We were starving. We needed food. We needed food, so we had to rob a bank. There is always rationalization. There's always some kind of rationalization that the Yetzer Hara gives us, and we got to be very, very careful about that, because the rationalization is that poison drop that looks very, very insignificant, but it destroys the mitzvah and leads you into doing an aveira. It's like rust that slowly eats away on a person's car until it destroys the car and you can't drive the car anymore. It starts off small and slow, and before you know it, there's nothing left. The tefillah we say all the time in davening. I think you are familiar with the davening of Ma'ariv tefillah. I'll just read it to you. I'm sure it'll become familiar. We say in the tefillah of Hashkivenu, we say the following: V'hasir Satan milfaneinu imeacharenu. And please remove the Satan. Remove the Satan from before us and from behind us. We say that all the time. Why do we say that for? Because the Satan always comes to camouflage his plan. He has a plot. He's there to sabotage whatever mitzvah you're going to do. He comes sometimes from behind, sometimes in front of you. What does it mean from behind? He'll tell you, do this mitzvah. Let's take a popular example. Let's say a boy who likes to learn. He says, oh, learn late. But he goes to sleep and he can't get up for davening. And what happens? So he learned late. He enjoyed the learning, but he was not done with the foresight to know that he missed davening and he's going to be late for a shiur in his class. Just give you a very simple, down-to-earth example, right? Person is told to do, oh, your chesed, tremendous, do favors. In the meantime, he comes late for supper and his wife is angry and gets into a shalom bias debate. The Satan wanted that. He told you to do a mitzvah, help the guy down the block, help here, do that, do this. We are constantly attacked by a barrage of mitzvahs that are pre-planned by the Satan. And we pray every day, V'hasir Satan mufaneinu umeyachareinu. We pray to Hashem to remove the Satan from before us or from behind us. He's always there somehow to sabotage our mitzvahs. Therefore, taking this into consideration, it's important to understand when Moshe Rabbeinu was labeled Chacham Lev Yikach Mitzvahs, a wise man takes mitzvahs, it was the mitzvahs was a pure mitzvah. The mitzvah was without any residual yetzer hara attached to it. It was a pure mitzvah. He had no wealth, no fame, nothing other than the mitzvah of taking the bones. And we have to learn from that when we want a mitzvah to be given its complete reward and complete attention in Shemayim for what you're doing, you have to know it has to be totally, completely a dedication of yourself devoted to do the mitzvah. And that is when the title of Chacham Lev Yikach Mitzvahs can even be given to you.
Is that not what they say? The only real pure mitzvahs are mitzvahs to do with the dead, because you can't get any.
No, that's a call. True, it's called Chesed Shel Emes. But that doesn't say mitzvah shel emes. It says chesed shel emes. The truest kindness is a kindness that you're not expected to be repaid. That's going out of your way to go help bury a dead. Right? In reality, he did chesed shel emes here too. Right. But the label that the Torah, the Medrash, gave Moshe Rabbeinu was the purity of doing the mitzvah with no ulterior motives. It was pure for the mitzvah. And from this we open up a whole interesting new subject. And that is, when we do a mitzvah, we have to be aware that we are subject to challenges, and we should be able to try to foresee the challenges, and we should persevere the mitzvah until we do the mitzvah to its conclusion, and then we will be rewarded the proper reward that the mitzvah can offer us. Now, it's interesting that this has taken place at the very, very beginning of the parasha, because the Chofetz Chaim of the Torah says a very interesting thought about this whole episode, that the Jewish people left Mitzrayim, and the Torah tells us, "V'lo nochem Elokim derech eretz Pelishtim," and Hashem didn't want to lead them through the land of Pelishtim. Why? Because he was afraid that maybe they would resolve to return, and they would have second thoughts about this whole going to Eretz Yisrael. That was the concern. So the Chofetz Chaim raises a very interesting thing over here. Going through Derech Pelishtim had its advantages and disadvantages. What were the advantages? You're going through a civilized country, and you're able to go ahead and have food and drink, all right? But there's a disadvantage. The Jewish people just were liberated from Mitzrayim, and they were at the Mem Tes Sharei Tumah. That's almost the lowest level a Jew can possibly reach, because the worst is Nun, the 50th level of Tumah. 4/5 of the Jewish people were not privileged to leave. That's why I mentioned before, and v'chamushim olu b'nei Yisrael, and 1/5 of the Jewish people went up from the land of Mitzrayim. Of course, the 4/5 did not make it. So these were Jewish people who were extremely vulnerable. If it would be a little bit more down to earth, They were contaminated by the tumah, by the idolatry, by the immorality of Egypt. The Egyptian culture seeped through their bodies and their hearts and minds very well. They almost didn't make it. Hashem was concerned. Going through the Derech Eretz Pelishtim, where the Pelishtim were not holy people. They were also adulterous. They were also immoral. And there's a question that maybe these weak Jews would be attracted to what they're up to, and they would be, unfortunately, taken by the attractions and never leave Pelishtim.
But that's what God said.
Well, let me just finish. Okay. The opposite would be going through the desert. Going to the desert has its advantages and disadvantages. The obvious disadvantage is that there's no food, no water, there's no protection, there's wild animals, there's windstorms, and a host of other dangerous things. So going to the desert is not a very safe place to lead Jewish people. But the advantage is that they'll be alone, away from the influences of the world that could contaminate them even more and make their going to Eretz Yisrael. At least it will not endanger them from going to Eretz Yisrael, because there's nothing there to attract them and to make them do an aveira. So this was the balance over here between going to Derech Eretz Polishtim or going through the desert. And Hashem had decided, and the Pasuk reads it straight, Hashem did not want to lead them to Derech Eretz Polishtim, rather to let them go through the desert. And that way get to Kabbalah Satorah, and that way the Jewish people will end up in Eretz Canaan. Had they done that, after they arrived to Har Sinai, then it was an 11-day trip to Eretz Israel, and they would have been there, not the way we know it to be 40 years. Hashem therefore made a decision that because they were so vulnerable, they were so unable to withstand the dangerous climate of the Polishtim, the immorality and the idolatry of the Goyim, that it was better for them to be put in a perilous situation and Hashem would have to provide miracles to save them, rather than have them go through Derech Eretz Polishtim and risk the chance that they'll never leave. What we walk away is a continuation of what I just said about Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu was labeled as Chacham Lev, Yikach Mitzvahs, because he did the mitzvahs with the purity of the heart. There were no other ulterior motives. There was pure mitzvah, pure devotion, pure motivation. And that what made Moshe rise and put him on a pedestal. We see from how the Chofetz Chaim explained the exodus of the Jewish people from Mitzrayim, totally in the same vein. In order for them to be able to be makabel the Torah and to be able to be ready for such an enormous undertaking, he couldn't risk them by putting them in a dangerous situation, as they were already in Memtes, 49th level of Tumah. And therefore, instead of putting them at risk, he helped them survive and grow and rise to the level that they reached Memtes Shari Kedusha, right by Kabbalah Satorah, because we know that there's Sfira Saomer. We count 49 days of the Omer, and every day from the Omer is one day out of Tumah and one level into Kedusha. We are aware of that. And therefore, what we see from how the Chofetz Chaim explained the parasha, that Hashem did not want the Jewish people to be put at risk, we see that what was most paramount in Hashem's mind is give them a normal, livable experience in Kedusha, that they will not be challenged by the Polishtim and having to be put at risk of losing their Madrega, losing the opportunity of Kabbalah Satorah. And this would set the tone for us today, that when we have to do mitzvahs, we have to do mitzvahs in a way that would help us perceive a mitzvah in its purity, help us accomplish doing mitzvahs in its entirety, that we be able to persevere any challenges that come our way, and by doing that, we will be able, on our own level, to be labeled in our own for our own mitzvahs. Chacham Lev Yikach Mitzvahs. A wise heart is one who does mitzvahs. So let our mitzvahs that we do every day should be mitzvahs that are done in its entirety, in its impurity, and we will be zeicher to grow and strive to many high madrigas in our Avodas Hashem.
Amen.
You're welcome. So that takes care of this week's parasha. Okay.